are all these stories about, you know, people whom we respect, people that we follow, people that we at least think we know a little bit, who end up being a very different kind of man in private than we knew of. Tiger Woods just being one of them in the news. And so how do we understand that? Some people, whenever a story like that comes up, you'll hear right away some psychologists or some brain experts saying that fidelity is not natural, that men and women are not hardwired for this, especially men. Where are you with that?
Well, you know, okay, so let's talk about what something that scientists know and something very interesting that I discovered in doing the research for this book, and I talk a lot about it in the chapter 3 called Love and Lust. It's basically mating for the male, but the little tiny vole, which is a creature you guys have in the Midwest, it looks like a little prairie dog.
Right, we get a lot of voles.
And there's one species, it's called the prairie vole, and he's a very monogamous stay-at-home dad. He helps with the pups, and even if his mate dies, he will not remate, even with a fertile female, a new one that they bring in. He wants his mate. So he's very monogamous. But he has a cousin called the montane vole, who is very promiscuous, kind of a hit-and-run guy, right? And he doesn't stick around for nothing. Scientists discovered that in the prairie vole, the nice monogamous guy, he has a certain gene, and they took the gene out of that one and injected it into the brain of the promiscuous one, and voila, they changed him into a monogamous stay-at-home dad. That made quite a lot of a splash, as you might imagine, amongst scientists, and they've gone looking for this gene in primates and looking for the gene in humans, and they actually have found it, of course, and there seem to be 17 different versions of this gene in humans. So some of them may be more on the monogamous end, some more on the promiscuous. So as of yet, there's no drugstore test kit for this, however, Ian.
Right.
Lots of women would like to have that.
So
I guess the point being, though, that there's a range of monogamy and promiscuity in the human male population.
We're talking with Dr. Luann Brizendine, author of The Vole Brain. all right, now, but so how can a woman tell which kind of vole she's hooked up with, though? I mean, and is it true, as some people would say, that human males are just not, in the end, are just not wired to be faithful?
Well, so that's my point. There's some that are wired in a way that it's easier for them to be faithful, and we think it also runs in families. So if a woman were looking for a guy, she might take a look at his father and about the behavior of his father vis-a-vis monogamy. I mean, someone looking at marrying one of Tiger Woods' children or sons may not like, you know, what the gene pool is. But
we'll look at Tiger Woods' dad. We know from Tiger Woods, we know from other people that his father was a serial philanderer, and that Tiger Woods hated that as a teenager. He was known to comment on that to his friends about how much he hated the fact that his father was so unfaithful to his mother. And then he ends up replicating the behavior.
Like father, like son. Now, you know, we know that. So that being said, that doesn't mean that just because your father was a philanderer, you're definitely going to be one. That's not the case. And there is something called free will and restraint. And I think that what everyone has to remember, and women in particular have to remember, that it may be easier for some guys to practice restraint than for others. And that doesn't give the other guys a pass. You know, we all have to learn to behave in a civilized fashion, no matter what our hormones are urging us to do that's not a socially accepted behavior. And, you know, men who are philanderers are, you know, I mean, a la Tiger Woods is a little bit way off. You know, he's off the Richter scale, let's say, for that type of behavior. But the issue of monogamy versus, you know, infidelity is a spectrum of behaviors. And you're right, there seem to be, I mean, obviously there's lots of women that are participating with Tiger Woods, right, in his acts of infidelity. So let's
making
be clear,
immoral...
women cheat too. It's not just men who cheat.
But now, would it be fair to say, since you're the author of the female brain and you're the author of the male brain, you're the perfect person to ask, that men and women, again, typically, statistically, cheat with the same outcome but for different reasons?
So the evolutionary biologists believe that actually that cheating has had a place in trying to get more healthy genes into the human gene pool. As a matter of fact, one of what we call the dirty little secrets of genetic researchers in studies where they're studying, let's say, some particular disease, and they're collecting families that the disease runs in the family, they're collecting all the DNA from the fathers and the mothers, and on average, about roughly 10% of the people that they are testing their genes really believe their biological father is someone who it could not be based on the DNA.
Okay. Very interesting. I've heard this discussion that they're finding out what percentage of people, of men who are paying child support are not actually the fathers of those children. And it was scarily high. And whether the woman knew for sure that was not actually the father or not, the guy doesn't know. And too often, you know, they find out later on at some point after many, many years of believing that they were the father, and that this was from, he was not a philanderer, but she was. I think there are some very interesting discussions on that, and I thank you again for talking about that. But let's go back to just then, in the case of, like, you know, the genetic component, do we know what part of the male brain that is inclined to not be faithful? If we isolated that, for example,
you're thinking,
is like,
could we isolate it and give them one of those helmets with an electric jolt?
Yeah, well, I know, or pants with an electric jolt, one of the two. Yes, okay.
The brain below the belt. That's the chapter in the book, Ian, that we're not going to discuss on air. You have to read that in the privacy of your home.
Well, you know, I think you make some really interesting points on that. That guys do. I mean, for example, I'll tell you a true story. I mean, I am not I'm not being bashful about this. I had a vasectomy. And I was fascinated by it. I love medical procedures, so I always ask to be able to watch whatever medical procedure is happening, even if it's happening to me. So I used a series of mirrors, and I was holding up these hand mirrors, and I was watching it. And at one point, I swear to you, they were tugging on something, and I felt the tug in my neck, and I thought, oh my God, they are connected. You know, no. There's like a wow.
And, I go through the details of that. Yes, you're right. They are connected. The brain above. Now, the part, when you go back to the issue, though, your question, I don't want to dodge your question here about what area in the brain and what is it about the male brain. I mean, we go back to that, the area for sexual pursuit that's larger in the male brain by 2.5 times in the male brain. And we go back to the issue that males all their life have a 10 to 15 times more testosterone running their sexual circuits in their brain than females do. Now, we females have about one-tenth of what you guys get. But, you know, we need some of that. That runs our sexual interest as well. And we get a lot of bang for our buck. We have a small amount. You guys have a very large amount. So, you know, when you match up a person who's 20 years old, 25, and if you have a male and female, they're the same age all through life, 40, 50, 60, the male on average has three times more interest in sex than the female.